Good afternoon and welcome to episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. Well, by the time you've heard this, the FBS Final Four, as far as the college football playoff, have been announced, but we'll save that for later in the conversation. Today, the main topic is the FCS, specifically getting down to the last group here to discuss all of it. Correspondent from Hero Sports FCS, he's been on the show two times as a third. Dan Steenkamer, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on here as we get down to the Elite Eight in the FCS. This is definitely my favorite week of the entire postseason in the FCS, having a quartet of really good games in the schedule, and they all come in rapid succession from Friday to Saturday. So it'll be a good weekend.
First, let's kind of break them each down. Montana State hosts William and Mary. Do you think this is the Bobcats' year to kind of go deeper, especially facing a Tribe team that most didn't, think would amount to much, but actually has surprised a few people?
Montana State lately has looked like a threat to return to the national championship game. I mean, the Bobcats put it on full display with the way they dispatched their arch rival Montana to end the regular season. I mean, that was just a thorough whipping of what turned out to be a playoff team in Montana, but the Bobcats proved to be just a far superior team. I mean, that was a 55-21 win. And the previous week, MSU dropped 72 on Cal Poly, and Cal Poly isn't a playoff team the way Montana is. But at the same time, I mean, it just goes to show you what this offense, led by Tommy Mellott and Shawn Chambers, that combination of players at quarterback, what they can do for Montana State. They got by Weber State at home in the second round, 33-25, just the second time this season being the Wildcats of Weber State after they defeated Weber as well in the regular season. And so Montana State has an argument of being the best team to come out of the Big Sky. I know Sacramento State is unbeaten all season, and they won the Big Sky title outright as a result. But Montana State, unlike Sac State, has that resume of prior playoff success. Brent Vegan, we had a piece about him run on heroesports.com not long ago, a feature going into just the way, digging into how he's built that program at Montana State, kind of in that mirror image of the way North Dakota State is constructed. And so William and Mary actually comes in as really a similar looking team to Montana State. It's one of my favorite games this weekend because William and Mary, similarly to MSU, is built on running the football. Up front, they're very strong, probably the most physical CAA team on either side of the line of scrimmage. That honor would go to the Tribe, but I certainly would favor Montana State at home. And if it's going to be one team I have to point out that could be one in the FCS that prevents a North Dakota State versus South Dakota State national championship game, I'd have to say it would be Montana State would be the best bet to kind of designate that team that disrupts all the hype around the two Dakota schools.
Now, who you have winning this game by how big of a score?
I like Montana State at home. This is a first-time matchup between WM and MSU. And with all due respect to William & Mary, they really showed they were ready to play in the playoffs by the way they handled Gardner-Webb at home in the second round. I just think Montana State has the pedigree, has the experience deeper in the postseason to handle business at home. If it were all the way across country trip for the Bobcats, if they were going to the East Coast, I could see it getting as close as a 3 or 4 or 5 point game. But I think Montana State should be able to lead this one by a touchdown or so throughout, and then maybe put it away later to finish with a final win of a couple possessions. So I'll target it on about an 11-point win for Montana State in that one.
Now you have another game with the Sacramento State Hornets versus Incarnate Word. Now Incarnate Word has kind of claimed to fame because, well, one of the think their head coach went to take the job at Texas State.
Yes, he's accepted the job at Texas State. Texas State has formally announced him as their next head coach. So it's one of those situations where you see in the FBS, if you're a sitting head coach and you're taking a job as a head coach elsewhere, you may or may not coach your team's bowl game. But in the FCS, it really is an untenable situation to just skip out on your whole team while they're in a playoff run. So Kenny remains with Incarnate Word for the duration of their playoff run, which was just extended with that win they had in the second round. Yep.
That's right. That's former Tulsa gunslinger GJ Kinney, who has taken the reins of a team that is known for prolific offense. Now, they're facing a Sacramento State Hornets team where the Hornets are interesting. They've had an atrocious playoff history up until this year, where they got their first win versus Richmond, 7-point win. Do they build upon this, or do you see this more of a incarnate word beatdown?
I don't see a beatdown either direction. Sacramento State, it does have a history of choking in the playoffs, if you want to label it that. I mean, this is a team that is familiar with being a high seed in the FCS playoffs, but has fallen in earlier rounds. So just breaking through to the quarterfinals is a big moment for even a number two seed like Sacramento State, just with the context of their program history. I guess I may have touched on, I talked about a pair of quarterbacks playing for Montana State. Sacramento State also uses a dual QB system in Asher O'Hara and Jake Dunaway. It's a really effective QB rotation for them. Each does a little bit of everything. Dunaway, I kind of view as more of the passer. O'Hara is also strong on the ground, but you can't really take away much from either in terms of any weaknesses. So Sacramento State is strong at quarterback, and that extends to both sides of the ball. UIW, though, has the best quarterback in the country in Lindsey Scott Jr. I expect Lindsey Scott to win the Walter Payton Award in the FCS, which officially goes to the best offensive player in the country at the FCS level. But what many people might call the Heisman of the FCS, I think Lindsey Scott Jr. will get that nod in Frisco. I think he'll be recognized on National Championship weekend with that award. But he is well deserving of that. He is a major reason, major catalyst for UIW advancing this far. So I think Incarnate Word Sac State is probably the single most appealing game in the quarterfinal weekend, with Incarnate Word being a trendy upset pick, and then Sacramento State having all kinds of pressure after just trying to continue an undefeated season. They have a really strong resume in the regular season. It earned them a top two seed for the first time, but my goodness, it all has to pay off in the form of a deeper postseason run, even at least to the semis, for Sacramento State to really feel like it did good on its overall season. But I think this game won't get away from either team. This should be just as tight, if not tighter, than Sacramento State's tight win over Richmond, which, as you said correctly, was by 7 points. I do think Sacramento State will have a chance to go after UIW's defense. Most Southland teams, to break into the conference level stereotype, most Southland teams aren't predicated on defense. Incarnate Word is a stronger overall team than a lot of those Southland playoff teams that we've seen over the years. But I do think Sacramento State will have a chance to get into another one of those high scoring games between a Big Sky and a Southland team.
One of the names of interest that people should keep on their radar is Incarnate Word's offensive coordinator, Matt Liptovich, former quarterback at UTEP, where Kenny has left. Do you know if Liptovich will be the head coach or who's going to step into the void?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question Incarnate Word has to address beyond just this week, right? I mean, Kenny continues to be the guy, of course, but in the big picture, those in the decision-making ranks and the executives in that athletic department office at UIW have to have an idea of where their search is going to head. I haven't heard a ton of names early on, but I do think an internal promotion could be a way Incarnate Word looks to go. I mean, Eric Morris left Incarnate Word last season, excuse me, when he departed to be the offensive coordinator at Washington State. So this is 2 straight years now that Incarnate Word will lose its head coach to the FBS ranks. And so when you have that happen, I could easily see UIW resort to a situation where they say, hey, we might be better served promoting from within. Then we may have a little bit more loyalty with a candidate who ends up being promoted from within and really rose to the ranks within our own program rather than making another a great hire. I mean, it really is suffering from success in a way. Incarnate Word has done well with fielding its head coaches over this pair of seasons, and it's just been a situation where they've been a stepping stone. And you can't necessarily blame Morris or Kenny individually. It's just a nature of the business when you're this successful this quickly at the FCS and in the Southland Conference. But UIW, I think that's a smart name to point out for sure. Is any name who comes from within Incarnate Word has shown demonstrated some level of leadership already below the head coach level and would garner a promotion and then hopefully stay longer than 1 season.
When we come back from break, we're going to discuss the top part of the bracket and get Dan's choice for the FBS college football playoff. But that's after break. You're listening to the Ad Drop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Ad Drop podcast. Terrence Biggs, Dan Steenkamer from Hero Sports. He covers the FCS. Now, the top of the bracket, Dan, you have South Dakota State, perennial odds-on favorite, against the upstart Holy Cross Crusaders, who, as an 8 seed, is still kind of surprising folks. Do you think the Crusaders have any shot here?
Any shot? I gave Holy Cross a better shot than I gave Delaware last week in the second round when I was writing about Delaware versus South Dakota State in the lead up to that second round game I just pointed out, I didn't think it was a great matchup whatsoever for Delaware up front on either side of the line. I talked about the line of scrimmage earlier in the podcast, and that's where a lot of these playoff games are going to be decided. It's very cliche, but I think it proves true when you have the elite teams in size and athleticism on the offensive and defensive lines that so often come down to a list of South Dakota State, North Dakota State, and Montana State, at least this season, the way I view it. And so Holy Cross, relative to Delaware, I think is more ready up front, physically ready for that challenge. Holy Cross is a team that just got by a really gritty contest in the poor weather, inclement conditions, a lot of rain, a little bit sloppy against New Hampshire at home. So Holy Cross will have to have more offense this Saturday against South Dakota State to give itself a chance. But having done that trip from the East Coast to South Dakota State myself not too long ago now, I can attest that it is a challenging trip. Holy Cross will fly out to Sioux Falls from Providence, Rhode Island. And then it's a little under an hour bus ride from the team hotel in Sioux Falls up to Brookings to play South Dakota State. So it's a trip that can do a number on you. And I think when you add in that travel, plus the fact that South Dakota State is the most talented overall roster in the FCS, at the bottom line is I'd be stunned if Holy Cross is able to pull off this game. I think South Dakota State might not be able to put up the kind of spread it did against Delaware, but at the same time, when you get to the bottom line, who's more likely to take this one? It feels like a cheat to say the one seed over the eight seed rather easily, but, and it's no disrespect to Holy Cross, which is undefeated and has the most wins in regular season in school history, but this South Dakota State team is absolutely engineered to be right back in Frisco and is probably the team that's best built, most ready to take down North Dakota State.
Speaking of, you have North Dakota State and Samford. I guess same question. Do you think Samford has a shot here?
Samford, the question begins and ends with its quarterback position. Now, in the regular season, Michael Hyers was one of the best passers in all of the FCS, really an accurate passer, both in completion percentage. And then when you just watch him with the eye test, Hyers is one of those quarterbacks who really emerged as one of the top signal callers in all the country. Now, he was injured in the team's regular season finale against Mercer. He got the bye week off with Samford earning a seed at that sixth line. Even so, Hyers exited that second round win over Southeastern Louisiana early. I didn't see the injury exactly how it played out, but it may have been an aggravation of that hand injury he had late in the regular season. And so regardless, Hyers departs that game and he's replaced by a freshman quarterback in Quincy Crittenden for the Bulldogs. And Crittenden just went berserk in his first extended game appearance. I mean, 408 yards of total offense, 26 of 40 passing, including four touchdowns. I mean, Crittenden scored the game-winning touchdown, a 10-yard rush in overtime to knock out SLU. That was really an inspiring performance by such a young player, and I think that gives Samford all kinds of momentum going into the Fargo Dome to play an NDSU team that has been a bit more vulnerable than we expected in the course of the regular season. Now, you have to caution that a bit with a reminder that North Dakota State regularly brings out its best play in the postseason. They're so used to it. It's old hat for North Dakota State to be playing in the FCS playoffs. And so the Bison continue to have a roster that on the offensive and defensive lines is similar to those top competitors in SDSU and Montana State. You can't look past that. But at the same time, the home field advantage at the Fargo Dome is not the same. The word is there were maybe a couple thousand empty seats in the Fargo Dome for that win over Montana in the second round. Years ago, that would never have been the case. Every FCS playoff game would have been not only sold out, but attended, all those tickets used. And I think the word from Fargo is that there just isn't the same sense of urgency in the fan base with the number of playoff runs they've had and the number of home games they've enjoyed over the years. And so even for a game against a blue blood like Montana, you know, two national brands in the FCS, that would have been a no-brainer to sell out in, you know, a minimum of 4 years ago or more. Now it's not the same home atmosphere. It's still hard to play in, don't get me wrong, but I combine all those factors to say Samford with Hyers or Crittenden to have such a good pair of quarterbacks that gives Samford a fighting chance. I definitely prefer the Bulldogs odds in that underdog role as opposed to William Mary at Montana State or a Holy Cross at South Dakota State. This might be the game where you really key in on for an upset look, but all the while we have a sample size of evidence in prior years to tell us that upstart SoCon teams, scrappy underdog teams out of the Southern Conference, they get into the North Dakota State's home field and it's just not the same team. So Samford will have to dispel that narrative. At the same time, I wouldn't be willing to pick anybody other than NDSU in this spot, despite everything I went into praising Samford. It's no disrespect to the visitors, but we've seen enough to learn that pick against NDSU when they're at home is a tall task. I'd say it could be much more intriguing if we get a semifinal in which North Dakota State has to travel to Sacramento State.
Now, are we looking towards another North and South Dakota State, respectively, championship game?
That's the game I picked at the start of the – before the bracket, any of the first-round games were played. That's the matchup I picked, and I picked South Dakota State to beat NDSU in that situation, and that would be – a plus and a minus for the FCS when you look at the health of the subdivision. I mean, those would be two fan bases who know each other so well, who are so passionate, who travel so well. I mean, the atmosphere in Frisco for that game at Toyota Stadium would be electric. And that would probably be an understatement. And to have those players just on the field knowing each other so well, the similarity they have and the number of times they faced off in really close competitive games, with North Dakota State coming out on the wrong end of most of those games lately in the regular season, that would be a great story for the whole FCS. The only downside I could see would be it's two teams who you've seen time and time again advance deeper. I think there's some hope among some folks that you see a different, some new blood like Incarnate Word with the hot hand of Lindsey Scott. And as long as G.J. Kinney is there, like a Holy Cross, like a Samford, you see some of those schools advance, or at least one, to give you some new life in the semifinals. But I predicted North Dakota State and South Dakota State, and that would be I already used the word electric. I mean, it would just be one of the more intense national championships we've played. Not that every game in the national title sense isn't of peak importance, but my goodness, there's enough bragging rights on the line between those two without a trophy in the form of the national championship being on the line as well. And so I predicted that it would bring all kinds of buzz to Frisco. I'm sure the local business owners there are pulling for that, to have those fan bases come down and check out the area once again. But That looks like the matchup. I mean, that looks like the most likely matchup right now. I mentioned Montana State earlier. I think Montana State's the team to watch. Montana State could very well have something to say about that when you get into the semifinal round. But South Dakota State, North Dakota State, John Stuglmeyer, coach for South Dakota State, on the selection show, he was interviewed, and right from the jump, he talked about how fun it would be to possibly play NDSU in Frisco. So I don't think either of these programs are shying away from that possible outcome.
Now, before we a bit ado, now you have the FBS, the college football playoff. You have Georgia and Ohio State, Michigan and TCU. Georgia and Ohio State, do the Buckeyes, can they stay with the Bulldogs here?
Yeah, stepping into the FBS side of things, I do think Ohio State will give Georgia a good game, a competitive game. You look at the way Ohio State was embarrassed at the end of the regular season by Michigan, and you have to figure Ohio State's going to be playing with a new fire under its behind. To be embarrassed by a rival in that spot, I mean, all Ohio State will be hearing about is how they're the four seed and they backed in and they only got into the FBS playoff because of USC's loss in the Pac-12 championship game. And I think they'll be motivated by that ultimately. I mean, the Ohio State talent, just looking at talent and all across the field, when you look at their depth chart, it's one of the top four talented teams in the country. And then there's no doubt about that. And so Georgia, very similar, you can say the same things about the Bulldogs, but the Ohio State is going to be a tougher matchup than TCU would have been, for instance. Ohio State, in some ways, at certain positions, could provide a more difficult matchup than Michigan would have for Georgia. And so while I pick Georgia to win, this I think it's going to be a game that's closer even than that 2-3 game on the other side.
How can people interact with you on social media?
That's great. I'm at Dan Steenkamer on Twitter. That's D-A-N and then Steenkamer. And over on Instagram, my football handle is Dan Steenkamer, same spelling, .FCS. So that's where you can catch me. I'm usually posting or tweeting about the FCS, but certainly I love ringing in New Year's with those FBS games too. And I guess I'll be pulling for Georgia to not make me sound like too much of an uneducated guy on the FBS side.
Dan Steenkamer from Hero Sports FCS. Thank you so much for joining us during the FCS playoffs. Thank you so much for being on this episode of the AdDrop podcast.
Thanks. Yep. Happy holidays to you.